The darkened land appears as if it were a patch of water joining the Yellow Sea to the Sea of Japan. A while the citizens of North Korea suffer and starve, a succession of its leaders have built for themselves a warren of underground command and control bunkers to keep themselves in power before, during, and after nuclear war, and to avoid decapitation from a strike by the United States. Like other nations, North Korea pursued atomic fission during the Cold War. In the 1990s, it began developing nuclear weapons. By 1994, the CIA told President Clinton North Korea might have already produced one or two nuclear warheads. Clinton dispatched his Secretary of Defense William Perry to Pyongyang to try to convince Kim Jong-il to abandon the program in exchange for economic benefits. The result was nil. In 2002, North Korea admitted it had been developing nuclear weapons for years. By 2003, their first reactor was producing weapons-grade plutonium. In 2006, they tested a nuclear bomb. In 2009, they demonstrated a successful second test. By 2016, North Korea had thermonuclear weapons. By 2017, they had engineered an ICBM able to reach anywhere in the world. Augmenting its nuclear arsenal, North Korea maintains an unusual fleet of as many as 80 submarines. If accurate, this means it has one of the largest submarine forces in the world, the U.S. Navy reports having a total of 71. These vessels in North Korea's TMS fleet are old and clunky. AO not nuclear powered, not even close, Apostol says. But at least one of them likely can carry a submarine-launched ballistic missile. We know this because in October 2019, North Korea conducted a successful test launch from an underwater platform, simulating a submarine launch. And 2 years later, North Korea fired into the open waters off the coast of Japan what was likely an actual submarine-launched ballistic missile. AO the world TMS most powerful weapon, at the Korean Central News Agency, the state-run news agency of North Korea, declared. And one submarine-launched ballistic missile is all a Mad King requires. While experts disagree on whether a North Korean submarine could realistically sneak up close to the US and launch a missile, Garwin says unlikely, Ted Postol maintains it most certainly could. AO it would be a tricky operation, AO he says. AEB are not impossible. IATM have done some analysis. I wouldn't TMT rule it out. A Postola TMS calculations go like this. North Korea TMS diesel submarine in this scenario is a modified 1950s era attack submarine of the Romeo class. AO these diesel electric submarines are really hard to find in the ocean, AE affirms, AO except when they recharge their batteries. Then IATM vulnerable. A diesel electric submarine gets its power from a diesel motor, which drives electric generators and charges its batteries. AO when the submarine wants to be covert, Apostol notes, AF submarine operates only on batteries and it RTMS under the surface, and it RTMS an electric powered system, so it RTMS very quiet. Eventually, batteries run down and need to be recharged. For this, a diesel engine needs air, and to explain how this works, Postol puts himself in the shoes of a North Korean submariner. AO so, what I do is, I get up close to the surface and I extend up to the water surface a device that a TMS called a snorkel. Basically, a pipe typically with a hat on top of it to protect against waves. And at the same time, I keep it low to the water. You don't your TMT want the pipe up too high. Modern radar systems are pretty able to see things like a snorkel sticking above the water. A submarine would have to travel very slowly. AO slowly, as in about 5 knots. A this is because most battery power consumed by a diesel electric submarine is for hotel load. AO meaning keeping people warm, fans blowing to keep the oxygen generating. A Postol surmises that in a primitive submarine like this, one AO that doesn't TMT have the most advanced batteries, you could probably stay underwater for 72 to 96 hours, going at 5 knots, before you have to snorkel. A and to give us a sense of how much power the vessel would consume if going fast, Eh, with LIPMA going at 25 knots, your power is gone in less than 1 hour, so LIPMA's got to be slow. But if you are a North Korean submariner, LIPMA pretty tough, a postal imagines. He calculates. Say I can do 100 hours at a time, at 5 knots without having to snorkel at a surface and recharge the battery, so that means I can cover about 500 nautical miles between snorkeling events, if he at him am careful and quiet. A difficult but not impossible. Ao if I were a North Korean submariner, he at him de snorkel for a couple of hours and try to make sure that nobody sees me, which is not hard to do because TMS a lot of ocean out there. So later TMS say the transit is 5 or 6 thousand nautical miles. So, eat at TMS a couple of months. And you need a lot of food, you probably don't yet TMT expect to make it home, but if LIPMA North Korean that a TMS part of the job. A postal also worked out the route. If you wanted to pose a threat to the United States, you would try to hug the southern coast of Alaska, he suggests, citing the underwater geography involved. You want to stay on the continental shelf in shallow water, which is not so shallow that a submarine can't attempt to use it, because if you go into the deep water, there's a good chance we TMLL find you. Because the sound of the snorkeling submarine in deep water is potentially detectable at hundreds of miles. The detectability of submarines is not simply how noisy they are, a postal asserts. It is what is going on in whatever kind of environment they are operating in, a concept known as the echo effect, which postal has spent hours not just thinking about but explaining to officials at the Pentagon. When a submarine is in shallow water, it is nearly impossible to hear it, even with a very advanced acoustic system. An advanced sonar system like SOSUS, Sound Surveillance System, developed by the US Navy during the Cold War to track Soviet submarines and create its strategy for anti-submarine warfare. SOSUS has advanced over the years. It taught TMS how, in June 2023, the Navy was able to hear an underwater implosion that was likely the Titan submersible. But SOSUS works in deep ocean waters, not shallow waters. And the reason it TMS nearly impossible to detect has to do with the complexity of the signals from reflections off the ocean at TMS surface and bottom of the echo chamber effect. In shallow water, I says postal, there are too many echoes. You can't TMT hear or ACTM shit. In this scenario, North Korea TMS diesel electric Romeo class submarine crosses the ocean, hugs the continental shelf along Alaska, then heads south. And, suddenly, you find yourself off the coast of the United States and able to strike with a short-range ballistic missile. That is the scenario we at TMA looking at now. It is how the North Korean Navy managed to get a ballistic missile submarine within striking distance of the west coast of the United States. And now, 18 minutes after the Hwasong-17 ICBM first launched, a nuclear-capable submarine-launched short-range ballistic missile has emerged from the ocean. It ends powered flight and begins mid-course phase. Tracking day 2 indicates it is headed toward the middle to bottom half of California, population 25 million souls. 19 minutes, Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado. At the Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado, analysts with NRO, NSA, and Space Force all see the data at the same time. They all understand that there is now a second ballistic missile attacking the United States. This one, flying at a speed of Mach 6, or 4,600 miles per hour, on a quasi-ballistic trajectory, appears to be headed for Southern California. Or maybe Nevada. It is less than 300 miles away from the shore. The missile is the NOTS-23, a North Korean short-range ballistic missile similar to one that analysts watched successfully fire from a subsurface platform off the coast of Sinpo in October 2021. The intended purpose of the NOTS-23, analysts believed back then, was to deliver a nuclear weapon to a target in South Korea. Now one of them is flying toward Southern California, moving at a rate of 6 times the speed of sound. The Knots Minus 23 is roughly 25 feet long and has fins. Its operational range is somewhere between 280 and 430 miles, depending on the payload. It can carry in its nose cone a 1,100-pound warhead. But the target that the Knots Minus 23 nuclear missile is headed for will be utterly catastrophic, no matter the yield. The target is protected by Article 15 of the Geneva Conventions, a set of treaties and protocols that form the core of international humanitarian law and regulate the conduct of armed conflict. But as the world is about to learn, there are no laws in nuclear war. The premise of deterrence is that nuclear war is never supposed to happen. The Aerospace Data Facility alerts military commands in Nebraska, Colorado, and Washington, D.C. with all U.S. military forces at DEFCON 1, all personnel at all 11 combatant commands in the United States and around the world are already poised for imminent nuclear battle. Confirmation of this second attacking missile ratchets up the degree of force that will be used in the U.S. counterattack. Because of the missile ETMS low apogee, high point, its short flight time, and the maneuverability from its fins, the Defense Department faces an unmitigated nightmare. The Knots Minus 23 missile is capable of evading traditional U.S. missile defense, and a launch to target distance of less than 400 miles, traveling at a speed of Mach 6, means the missile will remain in the air for less than 3 minutes. 20 minutes, U.S. Strategic Command Headquarters, Nebraska, duty officers at Stratcoma TMS Battle Deck in Nebraska receive sensor data from the Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado confirming launch and travel time. Based on plume measurements and missile trajectory, this second attacking ballistic missile is heading into Southern California. Or possibly Lower Nevada. Likely targets include, China Lake, the Naval Air Weapons Station near Inokan, Fort Irwin, the Army Garrison in the Mojave Desert, Naval Base Coronado, the Pacific Fleet at TMS home port off San Diego, Nellis Air Force Base, the Air Force installation in Southern Nevada, on satellite comms. All commanders wait for the President at TMS orders, as he is still in the process of being evacuated by CAT operators onto Marine One. As tracking data comes in, Nuclear Command and Control computing systems calculate and project the target more accurately. The missile now appears to be heading toward Vandenberg Space Force Base, roughly 50 miles northwest of Santa Barbara. Machine analysis is never perfect and the missile has fins that can change its trajectory at any time. Seconds pass. As it turns out, the algorithmic estimation is off by some 35 miles. The target is up the coast from Vandenberg Space Force Base. The target is a civilian facility, on an ocean bluff just north of La Beach, California. The target is the Diablo Canyon power plant to a nuclear power plant with 2,000 plus megawatt pressurized water reactors. Diablo Canyon power plant in Central California. Courtesy of Pacific Gas and Electric Company. 21 minutes, Diablo Canyon power plant. San Luis Obispo County, California. The incoming short-range ballistic missile races toward Diablo Canyon Power Plant, a 750-acre facility sitting 85 feet above the Pacific Ocean. It is a warm day at the end of March, 12:24 p.m. local time. The hour that security guards at Diablo TMS Southern Facing Gate are generally known to eat lunch, often outside in the sun. There are seagulls resting along the tops of fence poles here. Pelicans are visible on the beach below, catching prey in their large throat pouches and swallowing fish whole. It is near to low tide. Seaweed covers the rocks. As of 2024, Diablo is the only nuclear power plant in California that remains active. The gate guard here, eating his lunch in the sun, is one of some 1,200 employees and 200 subcontractors who work on site at Diablo. None of them has any idea that in just a few seconds, they will all be cremated on the spot. To defend against short-range ballistic missiles, The U.S. Navy has developed its Aegis program, an anti-ballistic missile system mounted on Navy Aegis cruisers and destroyers at sea. Unlike the faulty interceptor program, Aegis missiles have a shoot-down record of 85%. But these battleships are out on patrol in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, and in the Persian Gulf are defending America, TMS NATO and Indo-Pacific partners from attack. They are thousands of miles away from being anywhere near shooting range of America, TMS West Coast. The Pentagon also operates a land-based missile defense program called the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, system, one that fires anti-ballistic missiles from a launchers mounted on flatbed trucks. But as with the Aegis missile defense systems, all of America TMS THAAD systems are presently deployed overseas. Years back, after North Korea first successfully fired a NOTS-23 missile, Congress discussed setting up THAAD systems along America TMS West Coast, but as of 2024 has not done so yet. In this moment, all of these missile defense systems are a moot point. The Spurs space satellites spotted the hot rocket exhaust on this sub-launched missile just a fraction of a second after launch, but now roughly 4 minutes have passed. Boost phase and mid-course phase have begun and ended. The warhead bearing down on the Diablo Canyon power plant now enters terminal phase. In the laws of war, there exists a promise among nations never to attack a nuclear reactor. Expanding on the Geneva Convention's Protocol 2, Article 15, the International Committee of the Red Cross calls this Rule 42. Practice relating to Rule 42, works and installations containing dangerous forces, Section A, Additional Protocol 2, Article 15 of the 1977 Additional Protocol 2 provides, nuclear electrical generating stations shall not be made the object of attack, even where these objectives are military objectives. But as history demonstrates, mad rulers disobey rules of war. In words often attributed to Adolf Hitler, if you win, you need not have to explain. A directly attacking a nuclear reactor with a nuclear armed missile is a worst case scenario beyond measure. In terms of outcome, there are few nuclear attack realities that can get any worse. Nuclear weapons exploded in the air, at sea, and on land create varying degrees of radiation and fallout based on yield, size of explosion, and weather, rain versus wind. Radiation let loose in the atmosphere dissipates over time, rising into the troposphere and moving with the wind. But attacking a nuclear reactor with a nuclear missile all but guarantees a core reactor meltdown that in turn results in a thousands of years long nuclear catastrophe. What is about to happen in Southern California is known by energy officials as the Devla TMS scenario, a phrase also used in secret discussions led by the Japan Atomic Energy Commission chairman, Dr. Shunsuke Kondo, and others, after the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant disaster of 2011. In that case, after the Planter TMS-6 nuclear reactors were catastrophically impacted by a magnitude 9.0 earthquake and a 46-foot-tall tsunami wave, the plant suffered major damage and officials feared the worst. During a closed-door emergency meeting, Japan TMS cabinet members acknowledged that Fukushima Daiichi was on the brink of core reactor meltdown and hydrogen fire if they were unable to get its cooling system back online. Were this to happen, a blanket of dense radioactive smoke would spread out across eastern Japan, rendering a 150-mile stretch of land from Fukushima to Tokyo impassable to humans for an untold number of years. That was the Devla TMS scenario that was on my mind, Japan TMS Chief Cabinet Secretary, Yukio Edano, later explained. And that he feared common sense dictated that, if that came to pass, then it was the end of Tokyo. As in the entire city. But Japan was spared. Three of the six nuclear reactors at Fukushima Daiichi sustained severe core damage and released radioactive materials, but they did not melt down. The Devla TMS scenario did not come to pass. Japan dodged a bullet, wrote Declan Butler in Nature magazine. In its 2014 report called Reflections on Fukushima, At the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission warned that what happened in Japan should serve the world as a cautionary tale. All nuclear power plants generate electric power using heat from enriched uranium. Every 5 years, each plant at EMS spent nuclear fuel rods lose their full capacity and must be removed, stored, and kept cool. These rods remain highly radioactive for thousands of years. At Diablo Canyon, there are more than 2,500 spent fuel assemblies being continually cooled in on-site cooling pools, which use water from the Pacific Ocean. Were these pumps to fail, by accident or by attack, a catastrophic meltdown would occur. Every 3 years, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission carries out force-on-force maneuvers where security guards practice how to counter a direct attack. Exercises include tabletop games, like chess, and mock drills that simulate combat against an adversary force like a terrorist organization. But there has never been such a thing as a rehearsal against an incoming nuclear missile. This is because no such defense exists. Rule 42, like the concept of deterrence, is psychological. A theoretical supposition predicated on supposed future behavior and follow-on consequences that promise to work until it does not yet work. 58 miles up, the nuclear warhead from the submarine-launched ballistic missile re-enters the atmosphere, traveling now at a speed of more than 4,000 miles per hour. 30 seconds remain until the bomber TMS triggering system is set to explode. A Nuclear Regulatory Commission report finds that a small to medium-sized fire at a facility like Diablo Canyon would displace 3 to 4 million people. AOEA TMD, B, talking about trillion-dollar consequences, A. Frank von Hippel, professor emeritus at Princeton University and co-founder of its program on science and global security, said of such a catastrophe. But a nuclear strike against Diablo Canyon power plant will not produce a fire that is small or even medium-sized. It will be a radioactive inferno. The beginning of the apocalypse. 20 seconds remain. A nuclear strike against a nuclear reactor guarantees a nuclear core collapse, also known as a nuclear core materials meltdown. In an article from the New York Times, published in 1971, former Manhattan Project physicist Ralphie Lapp described what happens were a nuclear reactor to experience a core collapse. Citing facts from the Atomic Energy Commission TMS Urgent Report, Lapp detailed the horror: first an explosion, then fire, then the uncontrollable spewing out of radioactive debris. But what happens deep inside the reactor core is the real threat, Lapp explained. A. This molten debris could accumulate at the bottom of the reactor vessel. A huge, molten, radioactive mass would sink into the earth and continue to grow in size for about 2 years. A high temperature mass, a liquefied A hot sphere of radioactive lava and smoldering fire, A about 100 feet in diameter, might form and persist for a decade. A 4, 3, 2, 1. The NOTS-23A TMS nuclear warhead detonates on its target. The entire Diablo nuclear power plant is consumed in a flash of nuclear light. There is a massive fireball, a building-destroying blast, a nuclear mushroom cloud and a nuclear core meltdown. The Devla TMS scenario has come to pass. 22 minutes, Cavalier Space Force Station, North Dakota. The Cavalier Space Force Station in eastern North Dakota sits 15 miles from the Canadian border. Here, inside an 8-story tall concrete structure, a massive octagon-shaped radar system scans the sky. Given Cavalier a TMS position on the globe, its radar sees the attacking warhead let loose by the Hwasong-17 ICBM as it comes over the horizon in mid-course phase, from the north. This occurs approximately 22 minutes after launch. The ground radar TMS observation will be the last over-the-horizon tracking data the Space Force records before the bomb detonates over DC. 10 or 11 minutes remain. There is now enough data to pinpoint the target within a half-mile distance. The target is either the Pentagon or the White House. What is happening in this scenario is a decapitation event. Radar building at Cavalier Space Force Station, North Dakota. U.S. Space Force. 23 minutes, the White House, Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., the president gets strapped into Marine One, its rotor blades spinning, ready for ascent. It has been several minutes since the president climbed inside, and yet the helicopter still has no TMT left. The special agent in charge of the president at TMS detail is screaming at the president at TMS National Security Advisor, who is yelling into his own cell phone while standing in the doorway of Marine One. The sack is about to get physical. He taught TMS his duty to protect the president with his own life. Sack, helicopter needs to leave now. The fierce argument between the two men has been over the available number of parachutes in Marine One. The controversy has wasted precious time. The three-man counter-assault team element has shoots for themselves, for the president, for the special agent in charge, and for the Milade. The sum total of parachutes in the Secret Service here TMS White House office was 6. There are 14 people in Marine One, meaning the rest of the passengers will go down with the aircraft if it goes down. The National Security Advisor gives up the fight. He decides to take his chances, gets into the helicopter, and straps in. Already inside are a few individuals from the executive office of the president, or sometimes called the permanent government, including the National Cyber Director and the Executive Secretary of the National Space Council, the White House Chief of Staff, the Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, and half a dozen others are running toward a second Marine helicopter ready to lift off from farther down the lawn. The Marine One fleet is reinforced with ballistic armor, has anti-missile defense, and a missile warning threat system. As the newly built Sikorsky VH-92A carrying the president and his advisors begins to rise, CAT operators up and down the White House lawn scan for threats. But the threat is not coming from the ground. The threat is approaching from above. Only minutes remain until a nuclear bomb will strike Washington, D.C. Inside Marine One, multiple people are shouting at the president over satellite video comms displayed in front of him. The president at TMS family, his wife, and their children, are in upstate New York with his in-laws. The SecDef and the vice chairman are en route to site. Are the vice president at TMS whereabouts have yet to be confirmed. A system of antennas and satellite dishes contained in a communications bubble attached to the helicopter at TMS tail boom has the president connected with STRATCOM, Nuclear Command, Control, and Communications, or NC3, is a complex system of systems that exist on the ground, in the air, and in space. Its components include receivers, terminals, and satellites to keep the nuclear triad under the president at TMS control. The NC3 system inside Marine One is said to be hardened against the electromagnetic pulse that accompanies a nuclear flash. But no one has any idea if the system will endure or fall apart in a nuclear war. When analyzing its efficiency in 2021, the Government Accountability Office did not make public its recommendations, and the Defense Department did not comment. Seated next to the president, the Milade opens the football, inside of which is the black book. As the helicopter leaves the White House complex airspace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff speaks first, over comms. "Chairman, we have been hit with a nuclear bomb in California. Jesus Christ. Didn't TMT we have a few more minutes?" the president asks. National Security Advisor, "A second missile." He stumbles. "A different one." "Chairman, in Southern California, at a nuclear power plant." "STRATCOM Commander, we anticipate the Pentagon will be hit next, sir." The National Security Advisor points to a time clock on an electronic screen inside Marine One, counting down seconds. "Chairman, launch orders, sir." The president removes the laminated code card from his wallet, the biscuit with the gold codes. "Chairman, advising option Charlie from the black book, sir. Just minutes from now the chairman will be dead." The president confirms option Charlie, a nuclear counterstrike designed as the launch on warning response to a North Korean nuclear strike against America. 82 targets, or AIM points, A, that include North Korea TMS nuclear and WMD facilities, its leadership, and other war-sustaining facilities. This counter-strike launches 50-minute MAN-3 ICBMs and 8 Trident SLBMs. Each Trident carries 4 nuclear warheads in its nose cone, for a total of 82 nuclear warheads at 82 targets on the northern half of the Korean Peninsula.